Good morning, church. Welcome in the house of God. My name is Olivier Chuang. I'm a member of this church, and it's a pleasure and privilege again to share the word of God this morning. You can see the topic of the sermon. But before entering into the sermon, I would like just to share two things. The first one is just a testimony how my week went, and it made me to think about our life as Christians. Because the atmosphere of when you are also working, sometimes we find ourselves living with what I call sandwich prayers. Sandwich prayers is like you just stand up in the morning and you notice that you don't have any time anymore to pray, and the only thing you can say is, God, thank you for the day, amen. And it was not easy for me this week as I was preparing for the sermon. And I just thought about how the society puts us on pressure that makes us not being able to spend time with God and to meditate on His Word. Nevertheless, it is very important for us. Just wanted to remind us, I know that it is difficult for each of us, but still we need to eat from the tree of life, to remain alive. We need to stay near Jesus for our branch not to dry. So that was the first part, that even though things are difficult, I'd like to encourage you this morning that despite the fact that the society and the life is so tough, we need to spend time with God to remain alive. The second thing is about our sermon series on the Deuteronomy. I've been hearing some feedbacks about the book of Deuteronomy. Some were saying, it's boring. How can we learn from it? I would like to ensure you this morning that we will try not to talk about history, but to take history into our present life and to see how we can apply it into our daily lives. And it's also important to know, you should not underestimate the power hidden behind the word of God, because any scripture is good for teaching, whether we are reading from Genesis or from Revelation. The word of God is full of power. I mean, that's what we call in linguistics acts of speech, how to do things with words, you know. The word of God is not just like alphabet or not just letters, but these letters, when they come together and when God is there, when the Holy Spirit is there, they become so powerful that we ask ourselves if it's only words. Now to my sermon. Today's sermon is from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. We'll be reading from verse 15 to 31, but before we start, let me pray. Oh God, dear Father, you are the reason of our gathering here this morning. You are the hope of this church, and you are the reason these people came here this morning, Lord. They came to worship you. They came loaded. They came tired. And they came with many other things that I did not know about, but you know, Lord. Who am I and what am I to meet their needs, Lord? And my prayer this morning is that the voice of my flesh be silenced and let the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to your people. Rise beyond my weakness and my limitations and speak to your people in your name. Amen. So the topic of this morning is about warnings. Warnings. We don't like to be warned about something. Most of the time when we read the Bible, we like reading places where God blesses us, where God says something about the promises, when it's about the love of God. But sometimes the other part of the covenant, the other part of serving God, is that God should warn us. And this morning I'm going to say something about the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 4 from verses 15 to 31. We'll say something about the warning, what was the warnings about, and what was the aim of the warning. I will then say something, why did Moses warn the Israelites just before they enter the promised land? So the topic is about warnings. It's about God warning his people, not everyone, but his people, not to go after other gods. Let me read the passage and then we'll continue with the comment. Deuteronomy chapter 4. From verse 15. You, that is Moses speaking, talking to the Israelites. You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully, so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman, or like any animal on earth or any bird that flies in the air, or like any creature that moves along the ground or any fish in the waters below. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshipping things the Lord your God has appointed to all the nations under heaven. But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace, out of Egypt, to be the people of his inheritance as you are now. The Lord was angry with me because of you, and he solemnly swore that I will not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance. I will die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan. But you are about to cross over and take possession of that good land. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. After you've had children and grandchildren and had lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and arousing his anger, I call heavens and the earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but you will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in the latter days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. So Moses is talking to the children of Israel before they enter the promised land. And he starts the sermon by saying something about the character of God, which we sometimes neglect and which is not even present in many other religions. In verse 1, we read, "You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you." No one has ever seen God. John chapter 1 says that no one has ever seen God. And it was only through Jesus that God made himself known, or in the form of a man, to his people. So the passage starts by saying something that God is invisible, and this character, this attribute of God, should be in our hearts for us not to try to represent something or to build something out of a piece of wood to say that this is God. So Moses said, you saw no form, you just heard the voice of God. So one thing is important, we never saw God, no one has ever seen God, but on that day, they heard the voice of God. So the invisibility of God does not mean that he does not exist. We cannot see him with our eyes, but his miracles, his actings, he is moving in any forms that we can see nowadays. So the Israelites were not able to see God, but they heard his voice. God is not a physical being. He is a spirit, as the Bible says. He is invisible, but his work is visible and audible. We can see his work, we can hear his voice, and we can hear him and see what he is doing. Romans chapter 1 describes it more by saying this in verse 20. Romans 1:20 says this. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen. So his nature, his miracles have been seen, but not he himself. So the Israelites want not to create a God out of their imagination, to create something they will worship and forget the God that brought them out of Egypt. But why is Moses warning them? There are two main reasons why he is warning them. The first one has to do with the commandment. The first commandment says, you should not have any other God than the God who created you, the God who brought you out of Egypt. So the Ten Commandments summarizes the terms of the covenant with God. So the children of Israel had a covenant with God. And when we give our life to Jesus, we have a covenant with Jesus. It is like a contract, and a contract has rights and duties. So our rights are that God will protect us. He will provide for us. He will be our God. And our duties is that we should take him only as our God. So the children of Israel broke that first commandment. The first commandment, we find it in Exodus chapter 20. I'm just going to read it quickly. So, in the beginning, God talked, not in the beginning, but when he was giving them the commandments, he said to them, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in form of anything in heaven or above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them and worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. It is God that created us. He is the only God who deserves worship. So that was the first reason. The second reason are the past experiences of the Israelites before they entered the promised land. So Moses was warning them again not to repeat the sins of the past again. So first example of the sins of the past are, we find it in Exodus 31, the golden calf. The golden calf, you probably remember the story when Moses went to the mountain to hear the voice of God, and the children of Israel made a golden calf that they started worshiping as their God. Exodus 31 verse 1. Sorry, that's not the right passage. So the story of the golden calf is one of the best examples to show that we should be careful not to forget what God has done for us. So when God is silent, what was the reason for the Israelites to make the golden calf? Because God was silent. Because their mediator, Moses, was not anymore there. They spent a long time without hearing God's voice, and they thought God had abandoned them. And this is very common in our lives, that when we feel God is silent, we feel like we are not hearing God's voice, we feel like God is not doing something, we feel like when we have been praying over a month, a year for something, nothing is happening. We think like we need to act. We need to act because we think God is silent. But even though Moses was in the presence of God on the mountain, the Bible says that Moses spent 6 days, but only on the seventh day he heard God's voice. But from the first day on, God was present in the form of the cloud, which was symbolizing the presence of God. So even when God is silent, He is present. He is present through the Holy Spirit, encouraging us every day. So the danger that we have to go after God is, when God is silent, we think like God has forgotten us. We start grumbling. We start trying to look for solutions by ourselves. But these warnings are to tell us that we need to be patient. We do not have to lose patience before God answers us. So Moses stayed 6 days, as I said, on the mountain without hearing God's voice. 6 days. It was God that told him, come up to the mountain. But Moses could have said, what is the person that called me after 3 days? He could have left after 3 days. He could have left after 5 days. But he stood there in the presence of God. Whereas God's silence sometimes is just a time for us to be quiet, a time for us to empty our lives or our thoughts from any other things that keep us from hearing His voice. So we should not lose patience when we do not hear God's voice immediately after we begin to pray. Because the children of Israel thought and felt that they were waiting too long for Moses to come back, so they decided to make a God to worship. So, if you see that example, and let us think about the second coming of Christ. And Jesus has promised us that He is coming back. And before He promised that, He said, I will be with you till the end of the days. But sometimes we think like, or we forget that Jesus is coming back. 2 Peter 3 was warning us not to be discouraged by those who try to tell us that God is not coming anymore. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 to 9 says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our God and Savior through the apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming He promised since the beginning of the creation? But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. So by the same word the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So this is an encouragement for us, even when things seem to be delaying, not to fall into sin, not to go after God to worship them. So the warning for us, and at the same time a reminder, that God will keep His promise. God will keep His promise. Jesus will come back to take His church, and Jesus will come back to be with His church. It might take thousands of years, it might take the time it will take. Jesus never said something about the time of the second coming. Our reminder is to be prepared at any time for the second coming. So the Israelites were not patient enough. Just because Moses stood for 6 days and then 40 days on the mountain, they had that desire to serve God, but they did it in the wrong way by creating another God. That was the first reason. The second reason is that the Israelites were entering into the countries of the Gentiles, and the danger of worshiping other gods was bigger than when they were in the desert. If when while they were in the desert, they were able out of nothing to create a God, the danger was bigger again because the Gentile had gods made out of man's hands that they were worshiping. And that was the second reason Moses was warning them. You are entering into the lands of the Gentiles. Keep yourself clean. Do not worship their gods. But remember that it was your God who brought you out of Egypt, who is the real God. And now, the passage also says something about the consequences if we leave God. Most of the time, when I know that many people have problems with the Old Testament, when they read God's wrath or anger, it is difficult to combine it with the same God in the New Testament who is love. But we need to know that God can be angry. The Bible says that God punishes what the parents did till the third generation. But don't forget the second point is, but his mercy lasts for thousands of generations. Yes, God loves us, but sin should not remain unpunished. So there are some consequences named here in Deuteronomy 4 from verses 25 to 28. So if the children of Israel leave their God, what will happen? It is not that it is God that is punishing them by, in the first sense of the word, but it is just like God is removing his hand over them. When we are standing where God is with us, he is protecting us, he is our God. But if we go after gods, other gods, the God of Israel, the real God, the invisible God who is protecting us, will remove his hand over us, and they will be exposed to the Gentiles. So that was the reason why Moses was warning them. Not that God himself will kill them, but God will remove his hand, and they will be exposed to the Gentiles who will destroy them. So, verse 25 from Deuteronomy, chapter 4, says this. After you have had children and grandchildren and had lived in the land a long time, if you become corrupt, if you go after other gods, if you defile God's word and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord, your God, and arousing his anger, I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you this day, that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will perish because the God who has been protecting you will not be protecting you anymore because the terms of the contract has been broken. But all because of that, God is merciful. God loves us. He protects us. He is here to save us. He sent Jesus to save us. But we should not go after other gods to activate God's anger, even though his anger lasts for only three generations and his mercy for thousands. It is good for us to know where we come from, which God we are serving. Let's pray. Father, thank you for saving us. It is a privilege to have you as our God, because there is no other God like you, and there is no other God out of you. You are the one who saved us when we were still sinners. You loved us. You took us out of Egypt, out of our life without you, and you gave us a new life. Give us the strength to remain faithful to you in this new life, Lord. No other God has something to offer us. You have love to offer us. You have everything to give us, Lord. I pray for myself and for the congregation that even when you are silent, that we will remember that you are a God who keeps his promises, Lord. And give us the patience to wait for your second coming. Not to wait sleeping, but we want you to find us praying in your presence. Thank you, Father, in your name. Amen.